stripes and he took the nails and he bore all those things for us. 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. 3 days later, he rose as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords.
Greetings and welcome to episode 38 of Cross Joke, a TFL podcast. My name is Zach Anderson. I'm joined, like always, with the only does everything, the lustrous son of mine, Dakota Rytan.
It's true. I'm the jack of all trades, master of none.
That is a funny saying. You are way more of a jack of all trades than I give you credit for.
Thanks, brother.
Because you're like, oh yeah, dude, I just was hanging some drywall and put some windshield wiper fluid in my car that afternoon.
Some blinker fluid.
Just got done with my underwater basket weaving class. Went really well.
Every other Thursday. That's a good time.
I remember that was like the funny joke when I was in high school. Like, oh, did you sign up for the underwater basket weaving class on the fifth floor and there's only four floors at Butte High?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what was I supposed to?
Four floors?
Or is there three? Let me think.
No, I think there's four.
Is there four?
That's going to be a workout on the legs.
Huh? Yeah, there's four. Because I think math is on fourth, English is on third. Second's kind of the catch-all. The second floor also doubles as like the first floor, depending on where you come in the building.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because it's like on a hill. Yep.
Now, my school was all wings.
It was
really long.
You're like 5 feet from your mic, by the way.
You want me to scoot farther away?
You might have to scoot a little. Just saying. Just noticed. Yeah, that's probably way better.
So it was like a bunch of wings.
What do you mean?
Wings? Like there was a courtyard in the middle of the school.
And where did you go?
Billings West High. Biggest school, high school in Montana.
By like square footage or like
by pounds of people.
There were some big boys in Billings West.
We had the biggest wrestling team in all of Montana.
Are you talking like class size or just like literally
class size? Yeah. Okay. Like the amount of people.
Do you know what your graduating class was?
Like 467 or something like that.
Yeah. See, in my head, I don't remember what my graduating class was because I don't think I cared.
Like more than 100.
Oh, it was well more than 100.
Less than 5.
But I recall in my mind someone saying like it was one of the smallest ones in Butte High history. And I think
was everybody dropping out or what?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of dropouts. Think, you know, just normal high school life. But I think Butte High had extra. But and there was like a lot of, you know, the high school babies. I don't know.
Baby mama drama, huh?
And maybe that just there wasn't a lot of people. I don't know, bro. But Butte High.
Wow.
It's changed a lot over the years. You know, I've tried like.
Go Dogs.
Niece, go Dogs. Go Dogs, bro. Probably the best football team I've ever seen.
That reminds me. Have you seen the stuff about that streamer yet?
Streamer.
He just keeps getting more and more famous.
Which one?
His name is, he goes by Squints.
Oh. Oh yeah, you were telling me about this.
And he streams often with this other guy called Jinxie. But he has a voice that he uses when he streams. It's basically like Morty from Rick and Morty. Oh,
yeah.
Mixed with Donald Trump.
Okay.
But he's like, brother, hey brother, special team, special plays.
Oh, man. Dude, I have an opinion on Trump. This is not political. But I do. I've watched some, you know, recent interviews, and there's no way he's not getting the GOP nomination. It's going to be him and Biden for 100%. But I've noticed.
Biden's getting the GOP nomination.
Yeah.
What a world.
What a world. Probably the best world.
Brother, Donald Trump. Not political.
Not political. This is probably the least political thing you'll hear me say. But I think he's getting a little slower in his verbiage, in his speech.
Oh.
He's not as quick.
What is he, 80? 80 something? Oh, dude,
80.
Hey, Siri, how old is Donald Trump?
Oh, hey, Siri, how old is Joe Biden? 77 and 81.
Honestly, those 4 years, that's a big... He's almost in his late 80s. I mean, what? His mid 80s.
You know, we're closer to 1980 than we are 2045. Oh, he's almost in his late 80s.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he is almost in his late 80s.
I don't follow that logic. He's probably the best 77-year-old there is. Oh, well. Dakota, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
I have not seen you as much as usual. We haven't talked as much. You don't even call anymore.
I don't work out anymore.
Yeah, right? We're those guys now. I had my alarm set yesterday as if it was going to happen.
Oh, that's sad.
And I turned it off. I was like, not mean Dakota there. For those of you that don't know, he spends about 12 hours a day in the penitentiary now.
It's true. But they let me go for nights. Go peruse around the town.
So for our audience that may not know, you picked up a job as the baker manager guy.
Mm-hmm. Supervising baker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At the state penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
So describe a little bit about your job.
Wow. We bake all day long. I work 4 11-hour shifts Monday through Thursday. If you want to come see me, probably can't. I manage a team of about 8 inmate workers that bake in the facility for me.
I feel like you've been finding these words as you're just
speaking. I'm actually just making them up. Imagine this was just a bit.
Just kidding, guys. He works at McDonald's.
So it's on the moon.
Yeah.
No.
Men in Black 3.
So I get there at 5 in the morning and I work until 4 in the afternoon. 4 in the morning. 4 in the afternoon. Why is this so funny today? So I work 4 11-hour shifts. But
you also have to drive almost like an hour.
Yep. Yeah. About 50 minutes away. And we bake like a lot of baked goods. In mass quality, quality and quantity. Maybe not quality. Zach's about to spit coffee all over his keyboard.
Dude, if it wasn't for my insane self-discipline and sure will, that coffee was going over everything. Oh, dude, I had to, like, just squeeze my mouth closed. The mass quality. It's probably true.
Wow. So yesterday at work, for some reason, all my coworkers that aren't the inmates, like my coworkers, they thought it was Friday. It was a Thursday. Mm. They thought it was Friday. They kept saying it's Friday. And every Friday, I'm not there. But they do worker of the week and, like, award somebody with a reward, which is they for a week can take just half days instead of coming in for the full day of work, and they're nominated worker of the week.
Okay.
And so it's usually done on Friday. I mean, they did this on a Thursday and just all these things. It was Friday. So at the end of the day, I'm talking to the inmates and I'm like, guys, it's not Friday, it's Thursday. And they're like, oh, well, I'm not coming in tomorrow anyways.
Oh, dude.
And they're like, yeah, it's a national holiday. It's Felons Day. And one guy was like, yeah, it's actually Felon February, all of February.
Oh, dude, that'll give you your excuse to rob the thrift store or
Happy
something.
Happy Felons Day, everybody.
What is it off of Despicable Me? It's like Felon Con. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Me too, I think.
Yeah.
I love those movies.
Or is it like Villain?
Villain Con. Villain Con?
Let's be honest. It's about the same
thing. It's the same thing. But yeah, I think they're going to like some convention where all these villains go. It's like, it's awesome. I love that show.
Oh, here's a phenomenal segue for us. Mm. The ministry opportunity that I have at the prison is phenomenal. Mm. Almost every day I'm having a conversation with an inmate or inmates about religion, religious activities, Christianity, or just simply talking about prayer life.
Wow. Very cool. And do you find that, like, a lot of inmates are very receptive?
Absolutely. That? A lot of them are believers, and that's, like, the one thing that they're holding on to while they're incarcerated. I have a lot of mixed feelings about our prison system in the United States, but one thing I know for sure that I'm set on is I'm torn and sad for these guys.
Sure.
They live very sad lives. There hasn't been one person I've met that this isn't their second or third time being in prison.
Mm.
And it's just, they just can't seem to get out of that lifestyle. Wow. It's really sad.
Sure. And what an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
You know, that not a lot of people have to rub shoulders with those guys for shifts and hours and, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, that's really cool. That's really cool. Good job, man.
Thanks.
Keep pumping out that quality.
Yeah. Some of the food, really good.
Do you get to, like, eat some of it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is it, like, cool if you're just like, I wonder how this biscuit is and, like...
Basically, as a supervising baker, it's part of my responsibility to test the quality of the food.
I take that responsibility just by volunteer.
I take it very seriously.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
One biscuit may not be enough to test.
Dakota, if you didn't know, we launched Fight Church.
Yeah.
Super exciting. You were in it.
I was.
You were there. Yeah, but for our audience, we did a thing called Fight Church, and it'll be something that we continue to invest into monthly, just like the podcast. But the difference between the podcast, because again, how far are we in on this now? We're 15 minutes in, basically, and we haven't talked about a thing. but Fight Church is our opportunity to preach and teach the word and give... You know, whether you've had a good experience with church or maybe a not so good experience with church in your life, or maybe you're curious about church, is we want to give you a safe digital space to come and experience the gospel, experience the clear teaching on the Bible, and have it be a safe place for you. And then hopefully from that, we don't want to replace church for you, in-person church. This is supposed to be kind of extra or help you to kind of light that spark to find your own church and a local church that we would help you find as well. So, but yeah, it's a stream monthly. We stream live on tflministries.com/fightchurch, as well as our Facebook page and YouTube. And so our next one, Dakota, will be streamed April 27th at 10 a.m. MST.
Okay, brother, I'll be there.
But yeah, really excited about that, and another avenue to be in your corner as a fighter, as a competitor, as a martial artist. We want to be in your corner, just like what we do here at CrossChoke from the Fight Life is, man, we just want to help you and support you with whatever fight you're facing, whether it's in the cage or out of the cage, Dakota.
Yeah, I love Fight Church. I think it's phenomenal. Our first one went really smooth. And it's a great opportunity for people to come and worship alongside of us as well.
Today, we're talking about something called prayer. Probably the most important spiritual discipline ever in the history of prayer. This is probably the greatest prayer.
Special prayers. Special prayers.
Oh, anyways. Yeah, but today, guys, we are talking about prayer. And so, what is it? Going to keep it very simple. What is it? Why is it important? What does it mean to us? So our goal for you as a listener is to help you have a better understanding about prayer and help you grow in your prayer life. And so Dakota, I want to open with kind of a fun question. Maybe it's not a fun question, but just to kind of be open about our own prayer lives, because there's been times in my prayer life where it's been really good, when it's been non-existent, when it's been powerful and dynamic and alive. And then there's kind of seasons of a week between all of that, you know, like there's some days are really good, some days aren't. And I could just always kind of tell in my own walk with God, like, man, I just haven't been praying, you know? And what's interesting is how quick it could change when you just accept, like, okay, God, I need you, and take a moment and pray. And it can really change everything in that moment. Yeah. But I just wanted to ask you, how would you explain your prayer life kind of in your own words?
Yeah, my prayer life historically hasn't been great. When I first became a believer, my prayer life was phenomenal. It was like I was always praying. And the Bible is pretty clear on a passage. I can't quote the exact scripture reference, but...
Who would have thought? Us.
Normally, we can just quote scripture like nobody's business.
Probably the best scripture quoters. I almost said quote... Scripture quoters. Sounds like a slur.
Did you just put a curse on my family? But the Bible says to pray continuously. That's a word.
Yes.
And fervently, mm-hmm. without ceasing. And so when I was first a believer, first started out in Christianity, taking it seriously, I was always praying. Past couple years hasn't been phenomenal, but man, since I started this new job, I have 45 minutes driving to work that are just filled with nothingness. So I'll just throw the scriptures on and just listen to them and just pray. And it's been a great time to be in the presence of the Lord. And then also I feel as if, as a generation of people, we have placed a lot of barriers in our lives that limit us from being in prayer consistently.
Sure.
And so at my job, I'm not allowed to have my phone on campus. And so with no phone, that's a huge barrier to our prayer life. So whenever I'm quote unquote bored or like taking a break or whatever, I have a book to read, or I can just, let's pray for a minute. So I've been doing that a lot too. Just like, I got nothing going on the next 90 seconds or whatever. I'm just going to pray.
Yeah. How often we allow distractions and compromises and call it comfort, you know, like, I just want to veg on my phone and you know, look at TikTok or, and it's just so easy because all these things are designed to give you more time. You know, how fast your phone is, how quick it is to, you know, work together with emails. I mean, just all these things that can just like save you so much time. And yet it's like, I didn't have time to pray today. It's because we just love distractions and love.
And we love being busy.
Love being busy, you know. And then when we're not busy, we love just, why do we do that? We love just, you know, being on our phone or playing video games for, you know, rather than just take time, you know, to spend with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think part of that, which we'll probably talk about here in a minute, but, you know, is the vulnerability in prayer and going deeper than just your normal, like, oh, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Have a great day too, God. Peace, you know? But the God, I wanted to ask you what, you know, so when you got saved, you said that your prayer life was kind of like just fervent and awesome all the time. Growing up, In your childhood, what was prayer like, you know, in that season of your life?
It was there. I grew up in a very almost like strict Christian household, and it really turned me off to Christianity.
Oh, okay.
In my later years growing up. But for me, prayer was like very ritualistic. Mm. It was very... I had a very poor understanding of what prayer was. And so I thought, if my prayer wasn't answered, then I must be doing something wrong.
Mm.
And so it was very twisted. Like, I would make sure I was holding my hands a certain way and like just weird things like that where, I must not have prayed correctly because my prayer wasn't answered yesterday.
Mm. You didn't bow your head at the correct time or say
anything. Or angle. Hard enough or,
yeah. Dude. I think we could all relate to that in some way.
Isn't that
weird? Yeah. Yeah. Like growing up, it was just my mom and I, and there's really specific moments. And I've mentioned them on the podcast before about like when, you know, just as a young kid, we, you know, didn't have a lot of money and maybe the car was like real low on gas and we would be like, oh yeah, we got to get to the gas station. And like, it was running out of gas on the way. And like, my mom would be like, please Lord, help us get there. Please Lord, help us get there. And like, and would just like putter all the way to the gas station. And I think you and I have talked about that before. you know, but like little things like that, and where just God became real in my life. And because, see, my mom didn't grow up in the church necessarily. She did in like a Catholic context, which again is very, very different picture of what I believe the Bible says about prayer. I don't really agree with a lot of how they handle prayer in the Catholic Church, because I don't think it really agrees with Scripture. And the idea that like that really stuck with me as a kid was just like, God cares, you know, God cares. And I think that was just kind of very foundational to me. And my mom really did a good job of just treating God like he's real. And just praying for everything from the parking spot at Walmart to, you know, big things, and, you know, just praying me to sleep, and, you know, when I was just a little kid and stuff like that. And so there were some really positive moments in there of prayer. But I have found, you know, recently, because a question that I was going to talk about was just like, how has praying been easy for you? And I would probably say you just were talking about like, now that you don't have many distractions and you have time all of a sudden, you know? And so I think maybe in a lot of ways you've been giving a lot of opportunity to reignite that prayer time.
It's true. I'd say another part to that question about what makes prayer easy sometimes is I think the need provides you the opportunity to pray. So like, let's say you have a family member that is struggling with their health or something. Right. It's really easy to pray in that moment, like, and passionately, because you know God has the ability to heal that person.
Sure.
But in the mundane parts of life, praying can be super difficult, where like everything's just going steady, everything's fine. It's almost like you don't need God, and so you don't pray.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely when prayer can be more challenging, is when you're like, wow, I don't need God right now. And not that we say that out loud.
No, but it's definitely there.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I've in my marriage, we've been trying really hard to see things from each other's perspective a lot, you know, just in moments, not like we're fighting all the time, but like, you know, just like, how does my wife interpret, you know, this? And, you know, I was like trying to think of that way more with just people in general. And like, put yourself in God's shoes. You know, how does God feel? Not that like you're hurting his feelings, but I do think he mourns and wants more and desires more of you, rather than treating him like a genie in a bottle.
Yeah.
You know, like how, you know, you kind of grieve the heart of God when you're just like, oh, thanks God, see you later when I really need you. And again, not that we say that out loud, but like we show him that, you know, rather than that constant dependent, fervent prayer life of like, God, I would just want more of you because you're you.
Yeah.
You know, and just keep it simple. But,
and how rude is it when we don't necessarily, again, this seems kind of twisted, but when we don't need God and we don't seek after him, but then all of a sudden we do and we're like, hey,
it's me again.
We haven't talked in a couple years, but I really need this prayer answered. Like that's pretty messed up.
It really is.
Yeah.
It makes me feel dirty.
Yeah.
But dude, that's the whole point of conviction and sin. Mm-hmm. Like, but there's so much more, and that's kind of what we're getting to, is there's so much more than safe prayers. You know, there's so much more than just the mundane, God bless this meal, thank you for it. You know, and again, not that those are, we're not saying those are bad, but there's so much more. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, you know, in the middle of that, like when we play it safe, when we just give mundane prayers and lip service and it just becomes the ritual. And then we sit there wondering like why some prayers are answered and others aren't, and why some prayers move God more than others. And I think we'll start out, Dakota, by saying this, that God wants more than your lame, heartfelt, routine dinner table prayers. And that's just one thing that I wanted to say, because I wrote it down. I was like, that's pretty good. I like that one. But yeah, God wants more than your lame, half-hearted, routine dinner table prayers, and that he has called you to a life of courage, not comfort. He wants you to pray with boldness, power, vulnerability, and with passion. And that's the difference between And I don't want to say God's answering of your prayers is contingent upon how passionate your prayers are.
Right.
Because we don't manipulate God. Yeah. We don't manipulate God. But I do think that there is value in vulnerability with God. And because a lot of times prayer doesn't move the hand of God for our sake, but also for his glory. Everything's about him. So like when we ask something in his name and it'll be granted to you, right? You know, the desires of your heart, Proverbs 3, something. Yeah, I'm getting closer to a real reference, but you know, submit to him and he will give you the desires of your heart or something like that. And, but I know like the concept of that is because as we pray, it changes us. And as it changes us and our heart, and we struggle and we move closer to God, we embrace the awkwardness of prayer and we just get messy with God, you know, just pour your heart out to him. I believe it changes us. And in doing so, aligns our heart with God's will, which then he's more than happy to answer your prayer about.
Sure.
You know, so like, say, you know, of course, things like, God, I need some rent really bad this month, or like big things like that, you know, just real life things, or something as simple as like, God, I give these house chores to you today, you know, but like asking for strength, asking for like good things. God is more than happy to bless you with things that will in turn give him more glory, is what I'm really trying to say.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and so I believe, coming back to what we just said, God, of course, is happy with any prayer more than no prayer. Just like it's better to brush your teeth once than not at all. But I do think that there is so much more to our relationship with God, and so much more that we could be experiencing when we do pray passionately and pray fervently with tears, with boogers, with, you know, Jesus was praying to the point of like blood, you know, like bleeding. Yeah. And like just this, there's so much more is what I'm trying to say. There's so much more. And in turn, I do think that welcomes God to actually like do some big things in your life. Because this quote just came to mind from Mark Batterson. He says, when you pray regularly, irregular things happen in your life more regularly, you know? And it, so it just welcomes God to surprise you. And so again, not that you're manipulating God, but you're seeing him for who he is and welcoming him to impact your life.
Yeah, that's good.
Which leads us to our first point in understanding and growing in prayer. Dakota, your prayers matter.
Your prayers matter.
Yeah, your prayers matter. Why? Because God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. One that is reciprocal. So reciprocal, this is our big word of the day. It's a circle. but in 3D space, it would be known as a sphere.
It's spherical.
Spherical! A wormhole in 3D space is a tube.
I'm catching on.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just trying to think of a
shape. No, keep going.
And when you enter through the wormhole,
wow,
there's God. God's there.
Whoa, I feel like some music from Interstellar should be playing in the background.
We should play it right now.
We should watch the whole movie.
We should turn the movie on. If you don't know it, Interstellar is like my favorite thing. It was my most listened to album, the soundtrack. I just feel like Einstein when this Interstellar soundtrack's on.
Christopher Nolan Anderson.
Oh yeah. We're having a baby. I don't know if we talked.
We're having a baby? This is news to me.
Yeah.
A boy?
Yeah, it's a boy. Probably going to be the best boy ever. Yeah, but my wife and I, we're having a little boy. Really excited.
Christopher Nolan Anderson.
Christopher Nolan's not bad. Except we did name my wife's starter.
Pokemon.
What's that stuff called? Sourdough starter.
You named the sourdough starter?
I guess that's a thing.
Oh, really?
In like sourdough world.
Wow.
Is they name their sourdough. And so we called ours Christopher Dolan. I'll be like, how's Christopher Dolan? She goes, oh, he's a little smelly today. I don't understand. Oh,
that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, if you want, okay, here's really the trick. If you want your prayer life to get better, just throw on the Interstellar soundtrack in the background. Your prayers are like 30% more powerful.
I thought you were going to say have a kid or something.
No, we did not. We didn't have a kid to Interstellar soundtrack.
That's not, I didn't, it's not what I meant. I meant about praying.
Yeah, your prayers matter, okay? Your prayers matter. They really do, okay?
Now, when you say your prayers matter, it reminds me of when you talk to your students at the jiu-jitsu gym, mm-hmm. and you say, your feelings matter.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that your feelings are real, your feelings matter, but your feelings aren't always right.
And maybe that same logic applies to our prayers. Your prayers matter, and they're real.
But they're not always right.
Maybe they don't line up with the will of God.
Which is true. Which is true. I think it's very valid. Because again, like any prayers, anything to God is any communication and acknowledgement of God and the attempt to just be like, God, I want to talk to you. I need you. And if you don't even know where to start, you got to suck at it till you don't, you know, and that's just our philosophy. But I think you're totally right. You know, and I think getting the ship going, getting the ship moving, once it's moving, it's easier to steer, you know, and I think you could look at how Jesus really ridiculed like the Pharisees and Sadducees because they thought they would be heard because their prayers were, you know, just these heroic prayers,
right?
Big shows, and they wanted to be seen as holy. And then you look at, you know, like the thief on the cross or something, and you know, what was his prayer life? You know, like nothing, you know, and all he did was acknowledge God at the end, and that was enough. And so like God cares about your heart, not so much the minutia of whether they're correct or not.
Yeah.
But as you, you know, like say your child that just said their first word, like my little boy, you know, when he says da da, and I'm like, it's dad. It's dad.
It's father.
You peasant. Right. God does not do that to you. Because you're his child, you know, he's just excited. He goes, wow, you're trying to talk to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the father's heart.
I get that. Because like, you know, we pray with our kids and my oldest, she'll be like, dear Jesus, will you please just let me fly?
But yeah, like, you know, that's beautiful.
Right. And it's innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God's not like, no, you idiot. So, yeah, I think you're right, though. But, like, we got to start somewhere because your prayers matter, regardless of whether they're biblically accurate or not. And, again, it comes back to you are held to the standard in which you know. So if you don't know, you know, how to pray from the Bible's definition of prayer, don't let that hold you back because God cares about your prayers. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be in your life.
Mm.
And I think you got to start somewhere because God wants to hear from you.
Yeah.
And there's no, and this comes to just like what we're talking about is like, there's no right way to be open and honest. There's no right way to be open and honest. And I've experienced this in my prayer life. You know, that nudge from God, that's like, hey, you know, you're not, that's not you. You're not being real with me. You know, I want more of your heart and to give God more of my reality because it's not like he doesn't know what's going on in your life. And that's not it. It's not like you're, it's not like it's anything you pray is not news to God.
Right.
But see, if you filter it through that idea of intimacy and vulnerability, because, you know, you look at like, what does shame do? And, you know, and I think maybe that's a lot of reason why we love our distractions and our busyness is because we don't want to be exposed for what we are before God, because I think the world has done a really good job of making us forget about grace and this idea of earning and this idea of God's mad at me and I'm not good enough. So I think, you know, we would rather just look at our phone than have a moment of like being open and honest with God.
Mm.
And I've had a lot of those in my life, you know, when there's, and again, that happens sometimes throughout the week, you know, there's like, you know, you get busy and there's sometimes busyness is not a tool to distract us from God on purpose. You know, like sometimes we are just busy. Sometimes we are too busy. But a lot of times we do fill our free time with stuff that shouldn't be there and when we should spend it with God. You know, and so do you have moments, you know, I've had to like protect those moments. Now that you have a lot of that, but like, you know, do you say before work, you know, say when you were on staff at Journey or, you know, throughout the last couple seasons, have you tried to like set time aside in your prayer life or like just kind of find it when it's there, you know, like throughout your history of prayer of the last couple of years?
Setting a specific time of the day to be in prayer has been the most impactful thing for me.
Really?
Whether it's in this season where it's, okay, on the drive to work, I'm going to be in prayer. Where in past seasons it was, and again, I did this very poorly, but it was beneficial when I applied it. It worked. It was, okay, the last hour before I go to sleep is going to be my time to pray, to read my Bible, to really focus in journal and just talk with Christ. So just setting aside that time and routine is really important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Here's a couple of truths about why your prayers matter. If you press into God like never before, you'll experience God like never before. And just kind of like what we said, that if you want God to do something new in you, you can't keep doing the same thing. And like I said before, and I didn't really realize how well those fit together, but like if you pray regularly, irregular things will happen regularly, you know, and these are just all kind of just little truths to keep in mind. And it all starts with knowing that your prayers matter to God. So start somewhere. If you've never prayed before, it is awkward. It is different, you know, but it's like, okay, if I go to prayer with this idea that my prayers matter to God, I can sound like an infant and it's okay. That's okay. So don't let the fear of not praying the right thing keep you back from just praying. My God, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, and from there, you know, God, of course, can speak to you audibly, but prayer should be seen a lot more like a conversation, you know, but sometimes it's just a pouring out of everything that you have. But I do find like my prayers or my prayer time is a lot more valuable when I do just sit and like listen for a minute and just kind of search my heart, search my mind. And, you know, what does God bring into my mind? And if my mind wanders a little bit, then that's okay too. And just kind of come back to prayer and like, don't be hard on yourself during prayer time. It's like, you know, and one of the best things you could do during prayer is kind of have your Bible open, you know, because oftentimes those things work together, you know, and especially if you have a song on or something, like depending on how overstimulated your mind gets in those moments. But like some people need like total silence, but like it's fun to just let God surprise you. And I'll say that a lot. Let God surprise you. Give him a chance to speak to you, you know, because you might read something and then it's in a song and then your buddy goes, hey, I thought this might be a good word for you. And all of that happened because you prayed about it and your mind's open to like God. And it just kind of all works together rather than like Dakota, be a big man today. I don't know. I didn't know where my mind, I didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth until I said it, but you know, like God won't like oftentimes doesn't say that out loud to you, but
yeah,
when your buddy's like, hey man, hey big man, you know, and then
it's like, whoa, God was just,
God said to be a big man today.
And then you read in Ecclesiastes 4:19.
Yeah.
Be a big man, bigger than the issues of life, bigger than the problems you face.
That's my favorite verse. Disclaimer, that is not a real verse. Dakota, your prayers matter. Secondly, how you pray matters.
Okay.
So this comes into a little bit more detail now, but not how you think, because
with your hands folded a certain way.
Yes, yes. That is the only way God hears you. But here's what I mean by this. How you pray matters, because usually our prayers are ASAP. Usually our prayers are in and out, boom, or in the last moment of someone's life, they're there. Or like, you know, your prayers are now and quick and done. Instead of A-L-O-T,
Oh.
Which is a lot. But actually, it's as long as it takes. So rather than ASAP as soon as possible, like, God, please help me with this now. Boom, boom, boom. But switching our mindset to, instead of like shotgun prayers, it's as long as it takes. So like, what I mean by that now is like, pray like God is God. Make your prayers real. Like, nothing's too big, nothing's too small. Make prayer a habit. And like, when you're happy, when you're sad, like, you know, we talked about like, in throughout the inconsistencies of life, your prayer life should stay consistent. You know, when you're worried, and something that I've done, and you kind of mentioned this, is, you know, the idea of praying without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Seize up.
Without ceasing.
But something that I've done for a long time, and I think I got this from Batterson, I don't remember, but is breath prayers. And breath prayers are the idea of like, okay, what are like two or three little prayers that you could say throughout the day to keep your mind on track, or to kind of be in that heart of constant, you know, like, pray without ceasing. I don't really believe is like, do not stop praying.
Yeah. And if you stop,
and if you
messed up,
if you stop, you messed up a long time ago, but is to, is be in that constant, awareness of God and mm-hmm. welcoming of him into your life. And whether that's, you know, a busy day for you or not, you're still called to let God be a part of all of it. And so breath prayers, like some of the things that I'll do is, on one hand, you know, you have five fingers, hopefully not Randy, the Lord is my shepherd. And so if my hand's on like a table, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Like that, that's one of the things I'll do. Another breath prayer that I just say is, shine in me, shine through me, shine in me, shine through me. And you know, that kind of is just in that moment when I say it, it's just gives me this picture of like a mirror, you know, and me being open to the light that shines on the mirror, and the mirror shines through me and out of me. But in that, like, it's like, okay, God, it's about you. It's not about me. I don't want to get in the way. Your glory, not mine. Shine in me, shine through me. And, God, have your way. That's like just one of the things I'll say a lot. God, have your way. God, have your way. Shine in me, shine through me. The Lord is my shepherd. Like, those are kind of my three go-tos.
That's cool.
Throughout the day. And so, yeah, just encourage anybody out there to you know, things. And you might even have these and not even know, like, that they're really cool. Like, you know, like,
sure.
But those are things that I'll use a lot. But, and what I also want to say here is how you pray matters. And so this idea of wandering in God's presence. So I said a little bit ago, like, having your, it's okay if your mind wanders,
yeah,
you know, but I do think like lingering in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and again, it comes back to time and not being distracted. And it, of course, not all of us, like if your kids come into the room and like all of a sudden they're crying and you, like, okay, I got like, I'm, this is daddy's time. Get your own Band-Aid. You know, that's, life happens. Life is okay. So we can't be like legalistic, but like any opportunity that you can intentionally put forward to spend time in God's presence, you know, it can be awkward. You know, I don't know if you've, it's still awkward sometimes, you know, in our prayer life when you're just kind of sitting there and like trying to explain stuff. But I do think you get more comfortable speaking with God the more mm-hmm. you do it. But yeah, pray alone. You know, praying alone is sometimes scary. But yeah, get used to the awkwardness of praying out loud, hearing your own voice, sounding stupid. And but see, like, how you're praying is not necessarily in your verbiage, but it's in your heart. And that's what I'm trying to get out here is like, God, I just love you. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel like you have to impress anyone with this grand prayer. One of the greatest pieces of advice, Dakota, and I don't know if you can, if you've thought of this or if I've told you this already. I usually forget every conversation we've ever had.
Minutes after we had.
Instantly. But one of my mentors told me this about marriage before we got married. He says, make sure your wife hears you pray for her.
Mm.
And that is, out of all my marriage counseling, out of all the things, you know, there's a few things that I remember that were impactful and, you know, different things that come up. But like, that's one of the things I always, almost daily think about is, he goes, make sure your wife hears you pray for her.
Hmm.
And it's really been great.
Hmm.
because it helps me get off my high horse at moments. And I think hopefully it makes her feel really loved. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, but like,
but maybe that's not even,
but yeah,
about it,
but just welcoming God into the mix of that. Cause yeah. It kind of comes back to shine in me, shine through me. Yeah. Here, make sure your wife hears you pray for her. So that's been really cool.
It's good. I don't know if it's better marriage advice than, you know, the simple but profound phrase that I've heard philosophers use: marriage is the best. but it's up there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Everybody jot that down. Marriage is the best.
Start posting it too every chance you get.
Oh. Dakota, you just have that copied and pasted on your phone all the time.
It's just ready to go.
Oh, somebody got proposed. Dakota's the first comment. It's marriage true. Is the best.
And here's the this is a rabbit trail, but here's the deal. When I type marriage is the best on someone's post or whatever, text them, or it's my go-to congratulatory statement. Because it reminds me as well that marriage is the best. And so every time I type that in, it's reminding me being married is awesome. And I need to not take it for granted.
Yeah. So it's kind of it's actually your wife posting through your social.
Wait a second. I didn't post that one.
Oh, dude. And then journaling. I know you're a big journaler.
I'm terrible at journaling. I'm the type of guy that I have like 10 journals that
like
have
three pages or
yes. The first three pages all have really heartfelt things in them. And then I just didn't write anymore.
Yeah. I haven't been journaling as much as I normally do and I miss it. So I need that more, but dude, yeah. Journaling prayers helps you not forget, you know, and it really is. Like I have some like maybe like 5 years ago now, there's a few journals that I have that are like 10 years old where, you know, it's kind of cringy looking back. You're like, what was I thinking here? You know,
theologically.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what is this? And like, why was I worried about that? Or, you know,
sure.
And, but it is really cool to look back on because you may be living in a prayer that was answered in one of those.
Oh, that's cool.
Because you didn't, and you forgot, you know, so you're like, wow, I remember praying for that. And God totally answered that prayer.
Wow.
So, like, I think, again, that does God a little bit of service again, because it's like, wow, God, I thank you. You know, thank you for prayers, because that's what's cool about prayers is your prayers outlive you. Your prayers are eternal. Your prayers go well past your life, because there's prayers that are being answered in your life and in this generation that were prayed by generations that are long gone, you know? And so we're living in the reality of their prayers as well. And so your prayers are really powerful. And so jot them down every now and then, you know, and they don't need to be every prayer, but like, you know, write them down and circle them.
God bless this food.
God bless this food. Man, I have eaten some good food over the years. Wow. Like, thank you. Like, that's actually cool.
That is kind of cool. What a blessing.
Oh, so now, Dakota, that leads us to our third and final point. First one, your prayers matter. Secondly, how you pray matters. And now, thirdly, what you pray matters. And so it's different than how you pray. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into that. So everybody, yeah, this will be pretty full. Pretty what? Full and cool at the same time. Fool.
I'm ready. Buckle up.
The Bible is full of prayers. And we're about to make up for every Bible reference that we've ever missed.
Yeah.
Yes, this is our moment. This is our chance to flex on all those haters out. Okay, just kidding. We don't really have haters out there. If you hate us, watch this.
There was that one guy on TikTok.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's kind of a hater. That's
but,
okay.
But we ended up on his For You, so.
I need more haters in my life.
You know what the worst motivation, we've talked about this, is I'm going to prove all the haters wrong. What
Amen.
A
man.
That's such a silly motivation. But yeah, here we go. The Bible is full of prayers, Dakota. From King David, Paul, Jesus, everything in between. We see they prayed honest. They prayed desperate, gutsy, and real prayers. And praying their prayers, so they're recorded for us. Like, so praying their prayers can help fuel your own voice, your own heart, and set you on a path of how to pray for yourself and help you discover your own words, your own style, your own way of being vulnerable. But you cannot go wrong with praying scripture.
Hmm.
So this next part, you may want to listen to this next part again and again and write down some of these references.
Open up one of those journals.
Open up one of them journals. Give it a little, you know, dust it off. Get your pen.
A couple of those old pages.
Yeah, yeah. So Dakota, let's take turns sharing each one of these. So there are 15, everybody. There's 15 types of prayers that we're going to give you right now to look at and use in your Bible. And so one of the prayers that a lot of us might be familiar with is the Lord's Prayer, and it's a good place to get started. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, that kind of thing. And so that is the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13.
Okay, so how about the Search Me prayers? How nothing is hidden from God. We find these in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and 23 through 24.
Yeah, powerful prayer. I love that one. Lord, search me, point out my anxious thoughts. If there's anything in me that offends you, you know, like it's just a great vulnerable prayer. So if you're wanting to start getting vulnerable with God, that's a great place to start. When you're stressed or angry, which we all get, Psalm 13.
Tell you what, I could have used that 2 nights ago.
Okay.
I was so frustrated.
Yeah.
I threw a kitchen chair. My wife woke up.
Oh my.
The next morning, and she was like, why was one of the chairs on the ground? I was like, well, I don't know. What happened?
Oh my God.
Earthquake. No, I literally picked up one of the kitchen chairs like this above my head and threw it at the ground. Ooh. It didn't break though.
Mm. That happened to me.
Someone threw you like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh
no, my
gosh.
This sounds so petty. What are you talking about it? I can't even say it. My Face ID has been just not even.
Oh my gosh.
It's way more frustrating than you think. I've done my Face ID on my iPhone. You know, it should just be, you don't even need to think about it. You swipe.
I have a beard and I'll wear sunglasses and a hat and I'll boop.
Dude, so out of nowhere, it just was like, who are you? who are you? So I'm like, oh. You know, like it just gets under my skin. So then I got to put in my stupid 6-digit passcode. And then like, I'm, you know, I use the Apple card, you know, and like at checkout at like Safeway or something. And I feel like so silly because I got to like put my forehead down and like put the phone really close.
So like, dude, smirk.
I was in my car and I went to like open up my phone and it wasn't, and it happened. It just happens all day. And I put my face in there 2 different times. And with different appearances, but it's still just me. You know, I've tried to like work my way around it. So, dude, I took my phone and I chucked it at the floor in my passenger seat. And as soon as I let go, I was like, oh, you idiot. Why would you do that? But it was so frustrating. So in moments of throwing chairs and throwing your phone, when you're stressed or angry, Dakota, we need a little 13. Psalm 13.
There we go. How about this next one? Break me prayers. Break me prayers. How God humbles us for his purpose. We can find these in Luke 22, verse 42, and 1 Corinthians 11, 24.
Yeah. Thanks for reading my verse 4. But those are scary prayers. Those are scary.
Break me for what breaks you.
Yeah. Yep. Man, as his body was broken, Lord, break me for your purposes.
Wow.
Like, that's the idea. And like, you want some scary prayers, you know, because what if we were to embrace the pain of being broken for the result at the end?
Yeah.
And keep in mind, God knows what he's doing. And so, yeah, those are good. Break me. Send me prayers. Dangerous, vulnerable prayers like, God, here I am, send me. Isaiah 6:8, Esther 4:16, and Psalm 40 are where you can find some send me concept prayers and make them your own.
That's good. Next, we have some confessional prayers. Psalm 32, Psalm 142, and Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12.
Yeah. And those are like, I think all those are King David. And in those moments, that's when you know, with Bathsheba and all the things that he has done, like those are all moments of like, my unconfessed sin is like, he says something about it, like wasting away his bones and just like the guilt and like things like that. And so those are great prayers to, man, God, I need everything on the table. You know, those are good ones. When you're in pain and life may seem unbearable, Psalm 102 verses 1 through 11, Matthew 27 verse 46, Luke 23:46.
Prayers for healing, Psalm 6, 2 through 9, and Romans 15, 13.
Yeah. Prayers of praise, Psalm 100, Psalm 19.
Prayers for unity, John 17, 20 through 23.
And then prayers about purpose, you know, just direction and your life really mattering is just the idea, is Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, Colossians 1, 9 through 12, and Philippians 1, 9 through 11.
Prayers of blessing, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, and 1 Chronicles 4, 10.
And then guidance, we could all use a little guidance. Check out fightchurch.com. What? I was going to say .tv again. That needs to be it. We need to change our handle. But tfoministries.com/fightchurch. Check out our last Fight Church sermon because it talks a lot about being lost and finding guidance. But these are some prayers that you could pray. Psalm 25, 1 through 2, and also verses 4 through 6, and then Exodus 33, 13.
Prayers for boldness, Acts 4, 29 through 30.
And then lastly, number 15, prayers for salvation and help, Jonah 2, verses 2 through 9. Mm. So Dakota, there is a ton of verses that you could pray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. And again, just kind of read them word for word. You know, check out some of those. If any of those resonated with you, or like, man, I could use boldness, hop on that one. If you don't know where to get started, start in Matthew 6, 9. Confession prayers. I mean, any of those. So yeah, I encourage you to scrub back through that and listen to that. And we'll have these posted in the comments or in the description as well. Some of these references that you could look at. But when it comes to what you pray, Dakota, how we started, you know, just like a little child trying to say their first words, is you got to start somewhere and embrace the awkwardness, embrace how silly you might sound. And yeah, what we did was give you places to start. You know, from the Bible, start somewhere. And if you don't have a Bible, we want to send you one for free, no strings attached. TFLministries.com/resources. We want to make sure you are resourced, part of what we get to do as being in your corner. So we want to resource you. And so start with the Bible, copy their prayers, think about them, make them yours, and know that your prayers move the heart of God, change your heart as well, and deepen your relationship with Him. Dakota, your prayers matter. How you pray matters, and what you pray matters. And like we've been doing, Dakota, in every episode, is like, if you haven't taken that step of faith, we're all called to take and surrender your life to Jesus and have a relationship with Him. Now is, of course, the time. You say, Zach and Dakota, I want that. And if that's you, we could pray this prayer together, just like we've been talking about, and say, Jesus, today I give my life to you. I want to start my relationship with you. Forgive me and set me free to a new beginning with you in Jesus' name. And of course, if you prayed that prayer, man, we are so excited for you. We want to help you in your next steps. And yeah, comment on this thread. Connect with us at tflministries.com/fightchurch. At the bottom of there, there's a little connection card that says, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. What do I do now? And we will get in contact with you and help you in that walk and get you plugged into a church and help you however we can. We're in your corner. And Dakota, before we move on to the last couple segments here, I wanted to give some of the resources that we used to kind of build this episode on prayer, and where a lot of our content came today is three books that you could kind of look into. When you look into it.
Look into it.
Life-Changing Moments with God by David Jeremiah. That is all about praying scripture. Every day there's a new kind of prayer, and it shows all the references, and you just pray scripture, but kind of blends them into one prayer. It's really cool.
You like Dr. David Jeremiah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, stuff's good.
I've heard mixed things about him.
I like his Life-Changing Moments with God book.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, there's always There's always something.
You know who really likes him is one of the inmates that works for me.
Okay.
Talks about him all the time.
Okay. Just
loves him.
Because I think, is he on Focus with the Family?
He's on like TBN and stuff like that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. With everybody, any teacher, you got to just filter them. You can't always expect someone to be completely right or wrong.
Except us.
Except us. We are right all the time.
Every single time.
We're always right.
Brother, we're right.
Brother, we are so right. There's no wrong. Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. That is a really, really good one. There's a couple different Draw the Circle ones. There's like Draw the Circle for your kids and like the whole idea behind Draw the Circle. If I remember correctly, this guy drew a circle around himself and wasn't going to leave the circle until God delivered something or I don't remember what it was. But yeah, it's pretty cool. But anyways, there's like a 40-day prayer challenge thing. That there's a lot of good resources from Batterson. But yeah, Draw the Circle. And then Dangerous Prayers by Craig Groeschel.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. And like, it's really easy to like read a little bit a day because each chapter is like 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. So like 1.1, 1.2. Like, so like there's only like three pages, you know, that make it really easy to read. So yeah, there's some good stuff for you there. And with that, Dakota, we are going to hop into a segment that we have not done in quite a while. But I think it'll be pretty fun. But cross-examination.
It's the cross.
I think I got to find some of these sound bites. If you heard the sound bite, I found it. If you didn't hear the sound bite, I didn't find it. Because when I got a new computer, I lost. I didn't get a new computer by choice. I lost everything.
It was burnt in a fire.
Did you hear that?
Satisfying.
That was nice. So Dakota, we have done this in the past where you're just kind of put on the spot. I'm put on the spot. And here's an example, right? So the first one says, share what you'd do if you won the lottery. But then remember, we kind of add something to it. So this says,
in the bathroom.
Share what you'd do if you won the lottery. As a sermon.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay, do you want to do this one?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so share what you would do if you won the lottery as a sermon in 60 seconds.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready? Go.
So the Bible has a really cool scripture about the rich young ruler. And this man goes to Jesus and he says, Lord, what can I do? I've never sinned. I've never made any mistakes. What can I do to enter the gates of heaven? And Jesus says, sell all your possessions, give away all your money and drop it and come and follow me. And all the Bible says after that is the rich young ruler had to, he left sad. He walked away sad. And so if I won the lottery, I wouldn't be like the rich young ruler. I would give away all that money to enter the gates of heaven.
Amen.
Now, this was fictitious. I think in real life, if I won the lottery, I would tithe. I would tithe that money.
Okay.
You know, we're talking $1 million. I'd tithe that.
Okay.
That $100,000.
Randy would make you.
Would it all go to one place? I don't know. We'll see. TFL might get a good chunk
of
the winnings.
Good. You need a new mic over there. they're only like $80, so I'm sure you can, would you help?
But in closing, if you won the lottery, would you please tithe to TFL and use the rest? Don't let it get to your head, and don't walk away sad like the rich young ruler.
Don't Amen. Gamble. Amen. Amen.
Unless you tithe.
All right, Dakota, here's the deck.
Okay, yep. Here we go. We're going to give it the old shuffle razzle dazzle.
Razzle dazzle.
I'm just going to go like this business, though.
That's what someone does when they can't shuffle.
Oh, you want to see me.
Okay. All right. All right. I see you. That was good.
And then we're going to cut it and present it.
Okay. What do we got?
Discuss your desert island books, music, movies.
Oh, okay.
So maybe like one book, one music. one movies.
One movie, okay.
As a sermon.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's say you are stranded on a desert island, and the only thing that you can have is one song, one book, one movie.
Mm.
Now, a lot of you might think, okay, I got a movie from my childhood, and yeah. am I on a minute for this one?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I only got 40 seconds. Okay, so, right. But I don't really care what you would bring, okay? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to bring. So, of course, we would all think I would say Interstellar soundtrack, followed by Interstellar movie, followed by the Interstellar book, okay? But little do you know that I actually broke the rules here, and I have brought a Wi-Fi router and plug-in.
Ooh.
And have all the subscription thingies, plus my PlayStation 5 and Portal, resembling, because I want to live in God's goodness, and God Ooh. Wants to give you more than one.
Oh.
He wants to give you an abundance of joy and fulfillment, so surrender to Him all things, and you will have all the movies you ever wanted. Amen.
Wow. Preach it. I feel convicted. I'm going to go buy a Portal after this.
Oh, all right. Now that we're warmed up, Dakota, let's do one.
Let's get into this episode.
Yeah, let's get started. One more each.
Okay, okay.
That's kind of fun.
This is great.
Okay, here we go. Next one. Restart our timer here. Throwback Thursday.
Oh.
We are so bad at these. This is a great one for you. Throwback Thursday. Share your most embarrassing moment as a husband.
My most embarrassing moment?
So the actual one says, share your most embarrassing moment. I'm adding as a husband.
Okay, my most embarrassing moment
okay.
as a husband.
I'm going to give you 1 minute. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go.
Okay, this is a phenomenal story. Now, I've been married for 8 years. This actually happened prior to my marriage, but it has to do with my wife, so I'm going to share it.
Okay.
So, most embarrassing, this was the night of my high school graduation party. So, our school threw this huge party for all the graduates. We won a bunch of prizes. We played 21 blackjack. We played Texas Hold'em,
yeah.
gambled
right.
illegally probably with real money. And we got all this money. But we stayed up till like 7 a.m. And we saw this hypnotist. It was super fun. So my wife comes into town because she was living out of town at the time and wanted to celebrate with me for my graduation. And so I'm dead asleep. It's about, I don't know, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., but she's stuck in the house with my mom and my grandma, and she's not really feeling it because she barely knows them, and I'm asleep in the in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so she comes in, and she's like, hey, honey, do you want to wake up soon so I'm not all alone here with your family? And I punch her in the face in my sleep, like black eye level punch. Her in the face.
Dude.
And I wake up a couple hours later.
So you just went right back to sleep.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it happened. I wouldn't do it on purpose. And so a couple hours later, I wake up like, yeah, oh, that was great sleep. Had such a fun night. And she's totally mad at me. And I don't know what I did.
Oh my
And
gosh.
She explains what happens to me. And then she goes, and the worst part is your grandma told me not to wake you up. And I tried to wake you up anyways. And you punched me in the face.
Wham.
That's pretty embarrassing.
That is. Dude, my wife just like last week or something, I've realized when she's asleep and kind of wakes up and talks to me, she's not actually there.
Yeah.
So she'll get up, use the bathroom, in the night or something. And she, what did she say to me? I actually forget now, but she said something. She's like, did you get the request? I'm like, what? I'm like, no, you're sleep talking. She goes, what, really? And I go, yeah, just go back to bed, whatever. So she goes to bed. And then in the morning, I'm like, how crazy was that last night that you had that conversation? And she's like, what?
Yeah.
She was not there. But
I've had that too.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
All right, last one, big boy. Let's get it. This is gonna. I'm gonna bring the house down.
Interview your biggest competitor in the fight game.
Should I do like both voices?
Yeah.
Who's my biggest competitor? Like in jiu-jitsu. I've been training a lot MMA right now, but
yeah. Your dealer's choice.
I don't know who to pick.
Except I'm the dealer.
Okay, how about this? I'm gonna pick like Keenan Cornelius. Okay, so Keenan Cornelius, he's a
name.
That's a bad guy name in Hunger Games. Keenan Cornelius, he's kind of one of the guys I look up to. All right, here we go. 1 minute interview with Keenan. Here we go. So Keenan, you know, that last match that we had, bro, I wasn't that impressed. Well, Zach, my worm guard was so good. I just, the fundamentals that I have are just so much better than yours. You don't even know what you're doing anymore because I am like, I do American jiu-jitsu and you do Brazilian jiu-jitsu in Montana. I am so much better than you. Well, Keenan, I have been training for a long time, bro. And I'm going to catch you at your own stuff. So let's get back on the mats. I'm going to worm guard you. Okay. Well, let me just tell you one thing about jiu-jitsu, man, you tell me you do jiu-jitsu without telling me you do jiu-jitsu. I'm Keenan and I'm in constant pain all the time. This interview is going a lot different than I thought it would, Keenan. But I just, I admire you. Oh, shut up, man. I'm so much better than you. I'm a black belt now. I've been a black belt longer than you've been alive. Cool, Keenan. I hope you have a good day. We're at our minute interview. Thanks for your time. Shut up.
Who is this guy?
He sounds nothing like that.
I'll never not think of him like this now.
So, American Jiu-Jitsu is so much better there. That's his thing, though. He's like,
is that a quote from this man?
No, but he's known to be like American Jiu-Jitsu rather than Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
That's funny.
That was really weird.
You did a phenomenal job.
I even switched spots on the mic.
You did
too. Thanks for joining us for cross examination. That is just silly and has no purpose other than making fun of each other.
Good stuff.
Dakota, to close out, we have a walkout song of the week.
Mm.
I have been jamming this. No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No.
Did we already have this one?
Sleep Till Brooklyn.
I think we had that one.
Pretty sure.
Well.
But it's that good.
It's that good. But I have a second one.
Let's do it just in case.
I just realized I've been jamming it so much I forgot what planet I was on. What's this one called? It's by Trip Lee. This has been my second one. Put Your Weapon Down, I think. Put Your Weapon Down. Yep, Put Your Weapon Down. Trip Lee. That's our... I'm pretty sure we did No Sleep Till Brooklyn because I remember putting the thumbnail in. But,
you know, Put Your Weapon Down is a common phrase I use at the... the state prison.
Put Your Weapon Down.
There's this stack of rebar just right outside the bakery.
In my head, I envision like a spatula or something.
We have those too.
So No Sleep Till Brooklyn, honorary shout out. Secondary, actually main one, Put Your Weapon Down, Triple E.
I hold that down, man. Put it in.
Cheesy. Everything is MO, everybody's strapped. They like, don't give me your him, bro.
Well, Dakota. That's all we got for this episode, big boy.
That
was a good episode.
Yeah, lots of good, lots of laughs, lots of tears. Brother, there was a lot of commentary, lots of special teams.
Everyone's special, probably not as special as me, but everyone's special. American Jiu-Jitsu. I don't know anymore, man. Fight Church, August. Oh my gosh. Whoa. What month are we in? April. April 27th, Fight Church, catch us for that. The audio of that is live as well.
Ah.
On.
What?
You look like a pelican or like a...
Wow.
Not a pelican. A parrot.
A pelican with the giant gusset.
What did you call it? Gusset?
That's got to be the term.
A gusset
has got to be the term for gusset.
A pelican has a...
I didn't pull that out of my rear end for nothing.
A gusset.
A piece of material sewn into a garment to strengthen or enlarge a part of it. Such as
my tee's ready.
Such as the collar of a shirt or the crotch of an undergarment. You know, the gusset of the pelican. Talk about a fighter name if I ever heard one.
Gamer tag.
Gusset of the Pelican.
That's a great band. Gusset of the Pelican.
With their hit single. Oh. Your tea is ready.
Yeah. Oh, well, guys, thanks for joining us. Hope everybody's had a great day.
Great day.
And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Crosschoked. It was a blast creating this episode, and we hope you enjoyed listening. Submit any fun questions, inquisitive comments, serious requests, or hilarious stories to tflministries.com/podcast. Feel free to follow Zach at AndOBU and myself at South Friday. Have an amazing day, and join us next time on Crosschoked.